This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel. Science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. We profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And this hour, once again, it's open mic. That's right, it's open mic on Science Fantastic. Here's your chance to talk back to the radio. Here's your chance to get on the air, to unload, because you have a question or a comment about some of the big discoveries in science. The number to call if you want to get on national radio is 612-564-8135. And all we ask of you is that you leave your name, call letters of the radio station if you're listening to one, the city you're calling from, and bingo, you can ask that question. You can make that comment and have your thoughts heard on national radio. So let's say you're talking to the kids at dinner one day, and your kids ask you a homework problem that leaves you stumped. What are you going to do? Look dumbfounded? No. You're going to get to the phones and call 612-564-8135 and tell your kids, ask that science question on air, and you can get on national radio. And no question is too dumb or too stupid to put on national radio. Sometimes the simplest questions are the questions that are so revealing about the nature of the universe itself. Also, if you want to find out more about what I do, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, and you'll see the 4 New York Times bestsellers that I've written. The latest one is called The Future of Humanity. That is, The Future of Humanity in Outer Space. You know, the dinosaurs didn't have a space program, and that's why they're not here today. There are no dinosaurs in this room, because they were wiped out when a comet or meteor slammed into Mexico 65 million years ago. And they were helpless. There was nothing they could do because they had no space program. Well, we do have a space program. And costs are dropping all the time, which will one day open up the heavens for human exploration. For example, maybe you saw the movie The Martian with Matt Damon. That Hollywood movie, a blockbuster, cost $100 million. But the Indian government put a probe on Mars. They sent a probe all the way to Mars for $70 million. So it costs more to make a Hollywood movie about going to Mars than actually going to Mars. And then, in my book, The Future of the Mind, I talk about incredible research done using physics to probe the thinking brain. Did you know that by looking at blood flow in the brain, we can actually see thoughts? Thoughts as they emerge from the living brain? This is incredible. For example, old wives' tales can now be debunked or verified. For example, it's an old wives' tale that many people believe. But it's an old wives' tale that when a man talks to a pretty girl, he starts to act stupid. Well, it's absolutely true. By looking at brain scans of men talking to pretty women, you can actually see that blood drains from the prefrontal cortex behind their forehead, and they start to act mentally retarded. Absolutely true. And if you want to see that, just read the newspapers today, and you'll see this in action in the headlines. So that's the book, The Future of the Mind, talking about telepathy, telekinesis, all the things you see in science fiction movies that, yes, because of physics, we can now begin to probe the thinking brain and connect it to a computer. And then in my other book, The Physics of the Future, I talked about robots, jobs, medicine. What kinds of jobs are going to survive in the future? Where should you put your money when it comes to scientific investigation and research? And then in my book, Physics of the Impossible, I go 500 years into the future when things that seem impossible today become, well, who knows, commonplace. For example, starships. We hope to have starships perhaps within a century. Within 500 years, we may have something approaching what we see in the comic books. And then, not just that, but I talk about teleportation, just like what you see in Star Trek. Did you know that we could actually teleport atoms and photons today with today's technology? Anyway, these are the books profiled on my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. Or go to my Facebook site, Michio Kaku. There we have 3 million fans on Facebook. And on Twitter, we have about 650,000 fans. So find out what all the excitement is about. Just don't stand there staring at the radio. Get to the phones. Call 612-564-8135 and be part of the March of Science. Okay, let's move on now and take the first listener phone call.
Hello, my name is Jacob Hutchinson. My question for you is, I've read that if you fall into a black hole, you see the whole timeline of the universe flash before your eyes. Does that depend on the mass of you and the black hole, or is that a universal truth? Thank you.
Well, you ask a very interesting question, because many people have wondered what happens when you actually fall into a black hole. What do you see? What sensations do you have as you fall into a black hole? Well, with our telescopes, we can actually see stars, star clusters falling into a black hole. The black hole basically has lunch. Now, realize that light, ancient light, can be trapped orbiting around the black hole. And so as you enter a black hole, you'll encounter ancient light that has been trapped, caught, whipping around, orbiting around the black hole. So in some sense, when you fall into a black hole, you see the history of the black hole. When it was created, how it was formed. It's sort of like some people say when you have a near-death experience, you see your life displayed in front of you just as you are about to die. Well, in some sense, the same thing happens with a black hole, because a black hole has captured ancient light going all the way back to its original formation, and you see this when you go toward the black hole. Now, it's not very pleasant falling into a black hole. First of all, tidal forces, gravitational forces tugging on your toes, is different than the gravity forces tugging on your head, so you get stretched as a consequence. And that's called spaghettification. You literally become a noodle as you head toward a black hole, as tidal forces stretch your body until eventually your body disintegrates into atoms, and then the atoms themselves get ripped apart by gravity. Gravity rips apart the electrons from the protons, and so you are basically a bunch of gas molecules and subatomic particles as you enter the black hole. Now, if that isn't enough, time also slows down as you enter the black hole. Now, if you watch this suicide as you head toward a black hole, if you see this from a distance, so let's say you're in a rocket ship far, far away, watching this sad episode with a telescope, what do you see? Time slows down from your point of view. You see that it takes hundreds, thousands of years for that person to fall into a black hole, because the light from the black hole is what is called blue shifted. Frequencies change and time slows down. Now, if you are the unfortunate person to actually fall into the black hole, then it would only take a few seconds for you to fall into a black hole, depending upon where you started from. So, from your point of view, you've already vanished into the black hole and perhaps are dead. But to someone far away watching this whole spectacle from a safe distance, you would see the person frozen in time, because time slows down as you head toward a black hole. In fact, I once read a science fiction story where the bad guy, at the end of the novel, falls into a black hole and he screams for 1,000 years. Well, I'm afraid that's it for the first segment of Science Fantastic.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. The lines are open. You're not going to get a busy signal 24/7, any time, day or night. You can give us a call at 612-564-8135. All we ask is that you leave your name, call letters in the radio station, if you're listening to one, the city you're calling from, and then ask that question. Make that comment that you've always wanted to make about science and the big headlines that you see practically every day in the newspaper. Okay, well, let's move on now and take the next listener phone call.
San Jose, California, Albert. 2001, A Space Odyssey, the movie, I'm sure you're well familiar with it. The computer, HAL 9000, do you think today they can make a machine just like HAL? And as far as consciousness, that you've always mentioned about robotics and machinery, I don't think it would be self-aware. It merely mimics the human mind, but at a phenomenal rate of speed. That's why it outwitted the crew of Discovery One. I've done a lot of research on that. So what's your opinion? Is there a HAL 9000 today? Certainly not from Urbana, Illinois. And I just wanted your opinion. By the way, he was a Capricorn, too, by the way, if that helped anyone out. Thank you, Dr. Good job.
Okay, well, first of all, yes, I've seen most of the great science fiction movies. I love going to the movies. When I was a kid, I would thrill at all the exploits of astronauts going into outer space. Today, however, I cringe a bit because being a professional physicist, I can see all the mistakes and errors that are made in the movie. However, you have to suspend your beliefs a little bit and just enjoy the show. I enjoy watching science fiction movies. And 2001, I think, is one of the most realistic movies, but I think they got the date wrong. Instead of being 2001, it should have been 2100. That is, I think he was off by about 100 years. 100 years from now, we may have regular manned journeys out to Jupiter and beyond. And perhaps by the end of this century, we'll have robots that are every bit as intelligent as us, and we can have intelligent conversations. Now, today we have Alexa and we have things like that that are called chatbots. That is, they can talk to you, they can answer simple questions, but you can't engage them in gossip, you can't talk shop with them, you can't treat them as a friend. And that's where robots have failed. Robots are very good at things that are repetitive, things that don't require imagination or creativity, but they fail in three or four big areas. Listen carefully, because these are the areas where there are going to be jobs in the future. I repeat, the jobs of the future will be areas where robots cannot fill. One is human interactions. So, for example, in a law firm, the paralegal may be replaced because the paralegal is basically a search engine looking through law books. But the lawyer, him or herself, has to engage the jury, has to understand ethics and morals of society, which constantly change, have to argue to a judge and a jury. And so human interaction is one thing where robots are very deficient in. And this means that those jobs that require those skills will be around for quite a while. Next is pattern recognition. For example, our most advanced robots cannot fix your toilet. Things that are non-repetitive and require semi-skills cannot be done by robots. Robots cannot pick up garbage. They cannot solve a crime like what policemen can do. They cannot build a house like a carpenter. And they cannot make a garden like a gardener. But things that are repetitive, that's where robots can excel. So pattern recognition is another area that robots do not do very well at all. And then there's common sense. We know that water is wet, not dry. We know that mothers are older than their daughters. But how do you know that? How do you know that strings can pull and strings cannot push? Well, that's common sense. Any idiot knows that, right? Well, yeah, any idiot except robots. Robots do not know that water is wet because they never encountered water and wetness. I mean, why can't water be dry? And mothers are older than their daughters? Well, according to Einstein, that's not necessarily true. But for the most part, mothers are older than their daughters, but robots don't know that. And so jobs involving common sense will also be off the table for quite a while. And then jobs that require imagination, originality, innovation, those are jobs that robots cannot perform well at all. So intellectual capital is going to be the currency of the future, not commodity capital like agriculture, making metals and different kinds of commodities, but intellectual capital, the capital of the mind, making jokes, creating new scientific theories, becoming a teacher, and a mentor. These are things that require human skills, and that's where robots are lacking. And maybe in 2100, that movie, 2001, will in fact become very close to reality. Okay, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
Hello, Doctor. My name is John Cloud, and I'm calling from Pasco, Washington. The call letters of the radio station is KONA AM 610. I am wondering about a product that has been around the surfacing here in the United States, Cybotex. They say smart nanoparticles that goes inside of a gas and diesel engine. I want to know how safe that is and if that's a gimmick or what. Nanoparticles, they say super lubricity. Could you please explain what that is? Thank you.
Well, there's a lot of hype around nanotechnology, which is the technology of individual atoms. And in the future, one day, perhaps we'll have atomic machines. Machines that are the size of atoms. Atomic levers and gears and hammers. And that could create, of course, a new industrial revolution at the atomic scale. But where are we today with this technology? The promise is you could become a magician, like Harry Potter. You wave your magic wand and a rabbit comes out of your hat because you rearranged atom for atom the molecules in that hat. We are far away from the promise of nanotechnology. So where are we with nanotechnology? One is lubricants. That is layers of surface with, let's say, carbon and carbon composites and graphene that can form layers on materials to give them strength, to make them slippery. And so that's one area where there is an industrial application is in micro lubrication. Also, graphene, I mentioned. Graphene is a single layer of carbon. And as a consequence, scientists have been able to make transistors. Transistors out of a single carbon atom, which will eventually give us molecular transistors. I mean, think about that. Instead of those clumsy silicon transistors that you find on your PC or your cell phone, we'll have transistors the size of carbon atoms, and that could give us a new industrial revolution. Now, there is some controversy, as you pointed out, and that is safety. At the present time, the safety tests on many of these chemicals have not been thoroughly done. And so we assume, for the most part, that these industrial lubricants are not going to be harmful. But, hey, you never know. It's one of these things that still have to be tested. So for the chemical you mentioned, I'm not sure, I'm not familiar with that specific chemical. But you have to be careful because lubricants have been used, micro lubricants made out of nanotechnology. But you have to worry about how safe they are and whether or not, for example, the FDA has given any guidelines. But this is a frontier area. Another area where nanoparticles are very useful is medicine. It turns out that you can create nanoparticles that home in on individual cancer cells, killing them one by one. That is astounding. And some people think that's the future of cancer research, knocking out cancer cells one by one. One way to do that is to modify your immune system. This is called immunotherapy, so that it recognizes cancer cells and kills them. Another is to artificially create nanoparticles, which also zoom in on cancer cells and knock them out one by one. All this, of course, is still at the cutting edge, but one day, nanomedicine can really turn ordinary medicine upside down. Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today. Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he plans to push Congress for additional funding to help emergency workers who responded to the 9/11 attacks and then developed serious health problems.
Number of people sick and dying has greatly increased, and the cost of medical care, which we don't want to skimp on for one nickel, greatly increased, so we need more dollars now.
He says he wants to include money for the fund in a budget reconciliation measure that Democrats plan to pass later this month. Another plane carrying 158 people from Kabul has landed at Doha, Qatar. Other countries are beginning to fly into Kabul, including Pakistan, which is now ramping up aid to Afghanistan amid a growing humanitarian crisis. The country's foreign minister is asking other countries to not make the aid conditional. This is USA Radio News. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked, how long will it take to enforce President Biden's new vaccine mandate?
I don't have an estimation for you today, but there's clearly an urgency here, and we want to ensure that rulemaking proceeds rapidly, as quickly as possible. I'll also note, though, that there are a number of companies that have already put requirements in place.
At a middle school in Washington, D.C., President Biden said some Republican governors are being very cavalier about the pandemic. He said he hopes school children are not learning from them.
Politics doesn't have to be this way.
Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who has banned mask mandates by local schools in his state, denounced Biden's orders, claiming the federal government is meddling in state affairs.
We were promised this would be 15 days to slow the spread. And where are we at right now? This is a much different thing.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, once again, we're going to throw the lines open because it's open mic on Science Fantastic. Here's your chance to get to the phones and give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Let's say it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden you have this brainstorm. All of a sudden you just got to talk to somebody. It's such a great idea you have, but you're all alone. There's no one to talk to but me. That's right. You can call me on the phone by calling 612-564-8135 24/7, anytime, day and night. You'll get a recording. Leave your name. Call letters of the radio station if you're listening to one, and the city you're calling from, and ask that question. Make that comment, and perhaps your thoughts will be heard on national radio. It's as simple as that. Let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rosick, calling from Richmond, Michigan.
And I had a question for you about light waves, and I was wondering if a wave of light was a dimensionless phenomena or had dimensions that can be explained. Thanks.
Well, you ask a very intriguing question that has dogged science for centuries. Light does seem to be different from other objects. For example, if you take an object and you boost it, you have to, you know, kick it or put a rocket on it, and it takes time. It takes time for an object to build up speed, and it's a question of inertia. So objects have inertia or resistance to change. Light, on the other hand, you turn on the light switch and bingo! It immediately races at the speed of light. No warming up, no getting up to speed. It immediately goes at the speed of light. And so you say to yourself, well, light really is different from other kinds of matter. It's really quite different. And the reason is the mass of the light beam is zero. Not that it doesn't have zero dimension. It has zero mass. Therefore, it takes no effort to simply turn on a flashlight and boom, it goes to the speed of light. No warming up, no revving of your engines, none of that. Immediately, it goes to the speed of light because the mass, the rest mass of light is zero. Now, some people say, now, wait a minute. Einstein said E equals mc squared. Energy is mass times c squared. M appears in that equation. So doesn't light have mass? And the answer is no. You see, E equals mc squared is actually a truncated equation. It's not the complete equation at all. The complete equation is quite different. And for light, it is energy is equal to momentum times the speed of light. And so momentum can even exist with zero mass. And so you see, the equations for light really are different from the equations for ordinary matter. But we know E equals mc squared. We don't know the equation for light because, unfortunately, they don't teach it in elementary school, even though they teach E equals mc squared. Now, does light have dimensions? And the answer is yes. In fact, it is a wave. You can graph it on a sheet of paper. In fact, it was James Clerk Maxwell, 150 years ago, who first discovered what light really is. If you get a magnetic field, for example, and you vibrate it, it creates an electric field. A vibrating electric field creates a magnetic field. That's how motors work. That's how your bicycle lamp works. Anytime something spins or moves, it creates an electric field and a magnetic field. Well, Maxwell then got a sheet of paper and drew this curve. You get a wave. One wave creating the next wave, creating the next wave. And then he asked the key question, a question which really changed human history. What happens if electricity turns into magnetism, turns into electricity, turns into magnetism, and it goes back and forth, and it creates a wave. A wave of electricity and magnetism. Well, let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, I'll answer the question, what is light? And how did Maxwell figure out what light is?
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And before the break, we had a question about the nature of light. And then the question is, what is light anyway? It seems to be so different from ordinary matter. Well, that was actually figured out 150 years ago by the British physicist James Clerk Maxwell. We know about electric fields. For example, electric fields make your hair stand on end if you get charged up. It's the spark you feel by walking across the carpet. It's the electricity you get from the wall. And it's the electricity you get in a lightning bolt. All these are due to electric fields. Then we have magnetic fields, like the magnetic field of the Earth, which makes compass needles point in the direction of north. And then you have dynamos and motors. How do they work? Electric fields turn into magnetic fields, which turn into electric fields. So, Maxwell said, if I have an electric field and it turns into a magnetic field, like a ping pong, it goes back and forth, it creates a wave. And then he said to himself, well, that's nice. If vibrating electric and magnetic fields create waves, then what is the velocity of this wave? Well, it's a very simple calculation. He calculated the speed of the wave, and then he practically fell off the floor. He made one of the greatest discoveries in the history of the human race. He discovered that the velocity of a wave created by electricity turning into magnetism, turning into electricity, the velocity of that wave is the speed of light. And then he said, I paraphrase, he said the most momentous words of the electric age. He said, this is light. Light is an electromagnetic field. It's a field creating by electricity, turning into magnetism, turning into electricity, vibrating back and forth like a ping pong ball, traveling at a velocity, and that velocity is the speed of light. And then Maxwell said, this is light. One of the greatest discoveries in the history of the human race. And then Einstein, a century later, actually about 40 years later, took these equations of Maxwell and finished it. Unfortunately, Maxwell died when he was 40-something years old, and he was not able to complete his theory. Einstein took Maxwell's theory and said, ha!
This is just the beginning. That is, if this is light, then let's calculate the speed of light as you go in any direction. And then Einstein realized that the light beam traveled at the speed of light no matter how you looked at it. And then he came up with the theory of relativity. And so what is light? Light is an electromagnetic field. Electric fields turning into magnetic fields, turning into electric fields, traveling at a velocity, the velocity of light itself. Okay, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
Hi, my name is Shane Thompson. I'm listening to iHeartRadio, KFBX, Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm currently in Fountain Valley, California. My question for Michio Kaku is, what are your thoughts on the grand solar minimum, the way the sun seems to have an effect on our weather here on Earth, and it's causing climate change? Thank you.
Okay, yes, if you take a look at the sun and graph the sun's output over a long period of time, you realize that it's not steady. You begin to realize that there are fluctuations in the sun. And, for example, years ago, the sun's intensity was different than it is today. And if you look at the history of stars in the heavens, there are so many stars in the heavens that you can see stars in any phase of their life, from birth to maturation to eventually they die or they undergo a supernova. You can see stars at any phase of their existence. And so with stars, we can then compare the life history of thousands of stars to the life history of the planet Earth. And you see that, yes, it turns out there are cycles, that there are areas where light can diminish or expand. However, I'm not so much worried about that. I'm worried about when the sun has a temper tantrum, that it erupts with the fury of a solar flare. Let's take a short commercial break, and after that break, I'll talk about what happens when all hell breaks loose, when the sun unleashes a temper tantrum and creates what is called the Carrington event, which can really ruin your day. So give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on Science Fantastic.
There's a sudden food shortage, given recent headlines, and seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, if you want to be part of the March of Science, then give us a call at 612-564-8135. And remember, no question is too dumb, too stupid, or too dumb to put on national radio, because sometimes the dumbest questions are the most profound of all. They're the most revealing of the secrets of Mother Nature. And so, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Before the break, we had a question about the sun. Yes, the sun does have cycles. Yes, the sun's intensity can increase or decrease. But does that cause global warming? No, it is not sufficient to influence the weather that much, especially because the weather's been changing over the last 100 years. And many of these cycles take place over a period of thousands of years. However, there's one kind of event that really, really does work. Climatologists, and that is a gigantic solar flare like the Carrington event of 1859. It was a gigantic explosion on the sun as a solar flare went hurtling from the sun and hit the earth, and it was seen by the astronomer Carrington. That's why it's called the Carrington event, and it influenced telegraph wires back in 1859. Now, we physicists today, knowing the intensity of what it takes to disturb telegraph wires, can then now extrapolate to what it would be like today if a Carrington event were to erupt today. And it's not going to be very pretty. Property damage would be on the order of $2 trillion. That's trillion with a T, not a B. It means that power plants would be short-circuited, satellites would be fried, telecommunications will be disrupted, the internet will go down, your power in your house would go out as the power supply is short-circuited, credit cards cannot be taken because, of course, everything's offline, and it means that refrigerators are all going to go on the blink because there's no power, which means food riots in the next few days. It's going to be a real mess. And so we physicists, knowing this, went to Congress and said we need a few million dollars in order to reinforce our satellites, reinforce our power plants, build redundant systems as a safety precaution. And all we get was Snickers from Congress. So much for alerting our wise lawmakers about a real potential catastrophe when the sun erupts in the fury of a gigantic coronal mass discharge like what we had before. Now, how often are they? We don't know. Perhaps on a scale of hundreds of years, we don't know. We've only had one, and working backwards, we've been able to work out the dynamics of that solar flare and exactly how intense was the electric field. For example, we know that as you travel north, you get the aurora borealis because of the solar wind which hits the North Pole. However, during the Carrington event of 1859, as far away as Cuba, they saw the Northern Lights. The Northern Lights not in Finland or Sweden. No, the Northern Lights in Cuba. That's how massive this solar flare was. And as I mentioned, we physicists can then reverse engineer that to calculate the intensity of that solar flare. And it was humongous. It was off scale. Meaning that every few hundred years, a whopper is going to happen. And remember back in 1859, what did we have? Did we have television? Did we have the internet, iPods, iPads? No. We had Morse code and telegraph wires. That's all we had back in 1859. Think of what that would do today to our power plants, to the satellites, the internet, telecommunications, telephones. It would be a real mess. Okay, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
Hi, Dr. Kaku. My name is Eddie. I live in Ogden, Utah. I just watch your show or listen to it on YouTube, rather. I had a couple questions that maybe you could clarify. I think that your listeners would really be interested in is, can you explain what frame dragging is as well as the tachyon anti-telephone paradox? Thank you. Love your show.
Okay, frame dragging is a consequence of Einstein's theory of general relativity, where space and time have a life of their own. They are a fabric which can bend and stretch, and that gives us the appearance of gravity. So the pulling and tugging of gravity is actually the pulling and tugging and stretching of space. Now, as a black hole rotates, it's like molasses. Molasses rotating, and if you are, let's say, a bug floating in molasses, you are dragged along with the molasses as it spins. That's called frame dragging. So frame dragging is when you have, for example, a black hole, and you're caught up. You're caught up in the wake of the spin, and you are then dragged along with the frame being space and time. So that's how that works. And we actually see frame dragging. This was, of course, a consequence of Einstein's theory of 1915, but we actually see evidence of this as we see entire star systems and gas clouds suck right into black holes as they have their lunch. And then tachyons. Well, first of all, let me explain what a tachyon is. A tachyon is a hypothetical particle that goes faster than the speed of light. And if it goes faster than the speed of light, then in some sense, it gives you a form of time travel. That's why we physicists are very skeptical about the existence of tachyons. Of course, on Star Trek, tachyons are a preferred way of communicating because it would allow you to communicate faster than the speed of light. However, don't believe it. We have seen no evidence of tachyons. Maybe a tachyon destabilized the Big Bang at the beginning of time, but that's about it. So far, we see no evidence of tachyons. Well, unfortunately, that's it for Science Fantastic. Once again, join us every week as we explore the cutting edge of science on Science Fantastic. And give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters in the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and then ask that question. Make that comment, and maybe you can get on national radio. Good day.
For 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite, and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better, and it lowered my blood pressure, and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.